I want to talk to you about asteroids and how that they will spoil the party soon. Merlin and Eve both got a revelation within one day of one another here, and they were both, you know, just obviously a confirmation from God, you know. We call Merlin's fun at the fair, and then it was gone. She said, just before waking up, I heard music like you hear at a county fair or an amusement park. The sound of a calliope was quite loud. Then music from various rides joined the mix. And then laughter. I saw a huge Ferris wheel going around. It was like a snapshot. And then it was quiet, and everything was gone, and I woke up. And I knew the time for attractions and distractions are over. In other words, the party is over. And then the elect will know the only important pursuit is God, right? Well, I hope you get that from this, because it's certainly true. She said, I received by faith at random, Matthew 24 and 36, of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. So, remember that. Remember that day and hour thing there. Sometimes you get dates thrown in just to discredit things, and sometimes dates are like in Bible codes, but they may not be connected to what you think they're connected to, and things like that, you know. But we know that in the situation with Noah, he was told on the very last day, he said, for yet 7 days. So, the Lord told him at the beginning of the 7 days. And since we haven't reached that yet, contrary to a lot of people's thinking, we won't know it until it happens. And I've always taught that. And, you know, verse, I'm going to just read on just a little bit. She didn't leave that part, but I'm going to read on just a little bit. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, just, you know, not really. I mean, why is he magnifying this, you know? Because this was more important to them, it seemed like. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know, like at the beginning of the 7 days. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, literally, this is the second coming at the end of the tribulation that he's talking about. It's the flood after the tribulation. But it also seems to fit very well with the context of a flood of destruction coming now. And this is the reason I believe the Lord is pointing to it. But just remember what he says there, but of the day and the hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. I received by faith at random, she said, Psalm 119 and 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy ways. Amen. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 through 18, it says, and what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? So many things are more important. They really try to crowd in and crowd the Lord out, you know. And boy, I tell you, we just need to stay in touch with the Lord in these days. You know, some people are going to be playing with their idols and they're going to be taken away. Some people are going to go back for their things and get taken away, as we've had several dreams that pointed out. So, the only thing that's important is obeying the Lord, being where He wants you. Right? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's it. To let Him dwell in us is to let the Word rule in us, right? And He will walk in us. And that is a very good place to be, no matter where you are. And they shall be My people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. So in other words, don't be an idolater. Don't let things be more important than God. And will be to you a father, and you shall be to Me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Ain't He awesome? And here's Ebrah's dream, which is very similar. We called it Xing our Disney World. And I take that from Planet X. Xing our Disney World. She said, I dreamed my two sons, Elijah and Josiah, and I were coming to the top of a green grassy hill in the morning time. As we reached the top, we were looking down over Disney World, which is in Florida. So remember, she said, Elijah and Josiah and I. So I got from that Eve, the bride, John the Baptist, Elijah, and the man-child, reformers, Josiah, were looking down over Disney World. The central theme, castle, looked larger than in real life and was gray in the misty morning light. Gray is death, right? We could see the entire amusement park from our vantage point at the top of the hill. And this represents, I believe, a world where people seek pleasure and entertainment, and it becomes an idol. You know what, folks? I'm going to tell you this right now. The best thing for you can do, if you've got one of them in your house, I think, is get rid of it, and that's the TV. That's an idol right there. And there's so much garbage being put into people now. So much pharmakia, so much, lust, so much. It's just a piece of garbage. Get it out of your house. I will put no evil thing before My face. The Bible says it's gotten worse and worse. And since Obama went into office, there's more pornography all over the internet. You can't hardly go anywhere without it being there. I don't know who he put in the FCC department there, but it's obvious that they're trying to destroy people. The sun had risen about 40 degrees into the sky. It didn't look normal, like the soft orange yellow that you see when the sun is low in the sky. It was a very bright white light that drown out most of the color of the landscape. You know, I felt just this way when I stepped out of the house a day or two ago and onto the back porch, and the sunshine was coming down. It was so brilliantly white that it looked like it just dimmed the colors. And coming home the other night, the moon was brighter than I've ever seen it. Of course, the moon is a representation of the sun, right? So if the sun's brighter, so is the moon. And that sun is like white looking. It's strange. And I've got a welding mask, and I put that on to look at it, you know. And believe it or not, I did it the other day, and guess what? There were 4 planets around our sun. I'm sure somebody would have took a picture of that and said, oh, there it is, Planet X. And no, it was just a reflection in the visor of the... It was very plain, you know. And a lot of... You can't trust taking a picture through a window, for one thing. And cameras, too, you know. So you have to move it around to see if it's really, you know, not just a reflection. A lot of this stuff is reflections. Anyway... It was white hot light, and I knew in the dream that something was wrong. And I do too, something is wrong. We raised a really good crop of tomatoes. I mean, they were really nice. And then just in the last month and a half or so, or maybe a month, I'm not sure, they started getting sunburnt. That sun is hot. I mean white. How does a tomato turn white like that? You know? For goodness sake. You know, there's something wrong with the sun, folks. There's something approaching it. Amazingly, my sons and I were able to look directly into the sun without hurting our eyes. Don't try this at home. Well, this very bright white light and the extreme heat from the sun has been increasing, and I believe it is from the close vicinity of Planet X Nibiru. And by the way, we just passed a time where there was a huge coronal hole on the sun that's been there for a few months, and it's been releasing a lot of energy. And this happened last year, too. I'm reminded of the prophets that said there was going to be a year's delay from last September to this September. And I was thinking, you know, that they had that huge coronal hole there last year, too. There were some other things that seems to have been delayed. So, we'll see. Suddenly, I saw three fireballs seem to tear away from the sun and spread out, two on the right of the sun and one on the left. And this is what it looked like, but they had been just hidden because they were coming in from the direction of the bright sun. Yeah, it's true. If something's between the sun and you, it can hide there, you know. Well, as they spread out, I heard in the spirit realm a tearing sound as if someone were ripping fabric. And I believe that's the noise of asteroids tearing through the atmosphere. I could no longer hear the sounds in the physical realm very well. It was all muffled, and I watched the fireballs enter the atmosphere as they fell lower and lower on a curved trajectory. Their fire changed from white to orange and red to yellow. Well, just a note, as Planet X Nibiru comes around the sun, it upsets the sun so that its brightness blinds us somewhat to its approach and its tail of fireballs, you know, because there's all kinds of stuff in the tail. Through dreams and visions, we've been expecting an asteroid that breaks up into three asteroids to begin the troubles that lead to the tribulation. Now, I'm going to have some links on this when we post it so you can look at them. And sometimes they're called comets. People call them comets because they don't know the difference, but there is a difference, obviously. But you can't really tell because they get white hot, you know. They look maybe somewhat like a comet. And I'll give you some links to that, too. The three comet thing or the three asteroid thing is, good gracious, I don't know how many people have had that revelation. It's just all over. We got a bunch of them on the site. And so I'll give you links to some of those, and you can look at them. And, of course, these could be pushed out of the asteroid belt in front of Planet X. But others will come in the tail because of Planet X Nibiru with meteors and fireballs when it passes in front of the Earth's orbit, causing us to go through this tail of debris for like an hour, if I understand it correctly. And, of course, you could run into anything there that God so wills, right? And, of course, these will hit the Earth and change our Disney World expectations because they're going to begin a chain reaction of tsunamis first to the East Coast and the Gulf of Mexico from what we've seen. I'll put some links to this too. And also enormous earthquakes across the country with volcanic activity and dividing of the U.S. And I'll put some links there too. And I believe that people who have felt at peace here and safe here in this country, that's going to disappear with this. And they'll have to seek the Lord. And they need to know God in a personal relationship, as the preachers have always said, but never really lived up to. And after this, I'm through with this dream. I'm not through with this dream, but after I'm through with it, we'll look at some evidence that this is happening. You know, I mean, we're in that process. I believe it's drawing near. And also some evidence from the Bible codes that this would happen. And possible time period mentioned there. Although I'm not holding so much to the time period. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But Eve went on to say, two of them landed, one in the center of the Disney World castle. Man, what are you talking about? I believe that probably symbolizes the end of our vision of prosperity, you know. The other landed to the right of it. And I believe that could be symbolizing that judgment begins with the house of God. And the third overshot and landed to the left, the far left, of our vantage point. We know about the far left, right? And I believe this could be talking about the destruction of the wicked. And also, if you're facing east at Disney World, the two asteroids that fall in the Atlantic would, I believe, be to the right, Puerto Rico, and to the left, North Atlantic, of the castle. So I thought, wow, that was neat, the way that worked out. Well, the parable's got all kinds of things in there, doesn't it? She said, at this point, everything in Disney World burst into flame simultaneously. And we saw black columns of smoke rising up where the fireballs made impact. I believe that this judgment will take away all thoughts of peace, prosperity, pleasure, and entertainment, and exchange them with the sudden reality of the end times and survival. And I do believe that from this, revival will come because of the fear of the Lord. And that's what I'm looking at that's so valuable. Because God's known His from the foundation of the world. And most of them are out there, you know, playing in Disney World. And God says, no, it's time to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yeah, all the benefits of the kingdom. Forget not all of His benefits, and they are tremendous. But many won't get a chance to partake of them. We then heard sirens going off towards the left, and they were getting louder as they approached the park. We then saw what looked like white, unmanned, fire-extinguishing flying machines with large black letters on them. They rushed around trying to put out the fires at all the rides and attractions. They had gray robotic arms that held the hoses. And she puts a note here, could these be some form of UN solution to the crisis? It could be. I don't really know. She said everything burned so quickly that not much was salvageable. In other words, the party's over. It just can't be saved by man, right? Yeah. So it's best for us to take advantage of this now and just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Things I'm going to share with you today, I hope will, you know, encourage you to seek the Lord. We don't know how close all of this is, but it's obvious that it is close. We're even seeing the changes in the sun now and other things. She said, then I noticed a portion of the park in between the castle and where the left fireball had landed that had escaped damage. Well, I believe some will escape these asteroids and resulting tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, and other catastrophes like solar storms and CMEs related to Planet X, Nibiru's passing by the sun, right? So, she said it was an old water park that had been shut down for a long time. The slides were old and cracked and weathered, and it was all overgrown. And I'm thinking that those who have forsaken the lust for fleshly life and find their fulfillment in the ancient water of the Word will escape all this. People are looking for so many physical ways of safety and places of safety, and there's just no safety outside of abiding in Jesus Christ. That's the clear message of the Word. So, you know, you say, well, I've tried, David, and I just get distracted. Well, you know, ask God. It's not a matter of working it up in yourself. It's a matter of asking Him by faith and then confessing Him and giving thanks to Him for everything that you pray for, right? Amen. Because He wants to work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. My sons and I decided to go down to this area and look for any survivors. As we were descending the hill, I was able to communicate with my brethren in the spirit, and I asked them to meet me in that place. And when we got inside the water park, our brethren pulled up in an old 1970s Volkswagen bus. I remember those. Yeah. And I think it could probably represent the old ways and paths, you know. I've seen that it's got an air-cooled engine, meaning powered by the Spirit, right? Air, breath, Spirit, you know. And she said it was painted in light blues and greens and yellows. And when they piled out of the bus, they looked to be all to be in their 20s. Well, that's really escaping the curse there, isn't it? I'll take a little of that, Lord. I'm a very, very, very youthful 68, but I'll take some of that 20. And I believe that this just means that they'll be full of life. Like Psalm 105 and 37, and He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among His tribes. Isn't that cool? That's when they came out of Egypt, right? Going into the wilderness. They must have had an awesome revival at the Red Sea there, where the Spirit was poured out and they were baptized. Yeah? It must have done them some real good, huh? That's what I'm looking forward to. I had known them all in the dream for many years, and we were closer than family. And I told them we needed to spread out and search for the survivors. And I believe these are the people who will have the fear of the Lord and will listen to the gospel and will come out from among them. That's why they survived, right? She said, as my group walked through the water park area, we came to an old building that seemed like a medical facility. Could be some witchcraft involved here. I've known people that have trusted in the arm of the flesh in that regard, and witchcraft took them out. Yeah, we even had warnings witchcraft was going to take them out. But witchcraft, of course, is the word pharmakia. And so that's another reason not to watch TV, because you'll get that garbage spewed at you all the time. That's a demon. It'll look like a medical facility, so I suspect it already. We entered the building and opened the door to an exam room. And there were two pregnant women sitting on two exam tables. And I asked them, what are you doing here? They said, the doctors told us that we have cancer. And we're just waiting for them to come in and verify our diagnosis so we can be put on chemotherapy. That'll kill you if nothing else will, right? And I was indignant at those doctors, and I told the women, "You don't have cancer. It's obvious that you're pregnant." Well, in the natural, I believe it's really speaking about this age looks on children as a cancer, and they're ready to abort, you know. But I think spiritually speaking, doctors of the law, theologians, pastors of apostasy, consider your fruit, that is Christ in you, to be a cancer. And by their lies, they seek to abort this fruit. I think that's what this is talking about in the spirit. Matthew 12 and 48 says, "But he answered and he said unto him that told him, And who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And then in verse 50 it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." I'm talking about the mother here, right? So if we obey the Lord, we're going to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. We're going to be his mother, right? Luke 1 and 45, "And blessed is she," that is Mary, the mother, right? "That believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord." And what did the mother who brought forth Christ, Christ in her, believe? Well, Luke 1 and 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And so it is with you too. Your spiritual man will bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ as you're seeking to walk faithful and obedient to him. So if we believe in the promise and do the will of the Father, we are the mother of Jesus as we bring forth his fruit in us. Eve said they seemed so relieved that we had come and told them the truth. Yeah, just think about it, folks. After these asteroids come in, there's going to be a lot of people seeking truth. It's going to bring a revival. You remember how 9-1-1 was? That little, almost nothing compared to what's coming. Well, they didn't stick with it very long, a lot of them. You know, it was jailhouse religion, you know. They just didn't stick around with it long. Went back to their old ways. But I believe that a lot of people are going to want to hear the truth. They're going to see, first of all, that their leaders don't have it. It's not helping them. And they're going to see others who are blessed. But anyway, those who are dying under the words of the Pharisees will receive life when the real gospel is given to them, especially after they've got the fear of the Lord. They no longer feel totally insulated from the curses of this world when they see things like this happen, right? And I told them that they needed to come with us and get out of there. Yeah, come out from among them. Because the doctors just wanted to kill their babies. And them also with that chemotherapy poisoning. Absolutely. That's a good parable there. And it's so true. Sit in those places, you'll die. Because it's not the gospel. And they do not believe the word. And a child can read that New Testament and tell you that. So that just tells you that when you go in there and you get trapped and you begin to overlook all these verses, for goodness sake, that you were seduced by a religious spirit. Sometimes you need deliverance. They believed us and hurried to gather up their things and follow us out of that place. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. We went down the hall and opened another door that led into a lounge. And there was a heavy-set white woman with short salt and pepper hair who looked to be in her 50s, sitting on the arm of a leather couch with her right ankle resting on her left knee. She had just had her baby and was trying to breastfeed him. He was racially mixed. Well, now, in the natural, I see nothing wrong with that, honestly, but there's a parable here. Obviously, the Lord wants us to see. So I would say that her fruit was not pure breed from the Word of God only. It was part of the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt, part Israelite, part Egyptian. And that's where most Christians are. And to call them lukewarm is to say the least, right? So we need to get on fire for the Word, because it's only the Word that brings forth Jesus Christ in us. Only. You're not getting enough of the Word to overcome the old man of the flesh if you're going to most churches on Sunday and getting a few verses and then getting moralized for the rest of the time you're standing there, you know, or sitting there. She said the doctors had convinced her that she too had cancer and that they would come in every now and then and give her a chemo treatment. Well, doctors of the law had poisoned her by adding to or taking from the Word and bringing her and them, by the way, under the curse. You know, Paul pronounced a curse on them in Galatians, right? And also Revelation 22 and 18 says, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. You know, every curse you're going through, you can trace its roots to something you're not doing in the book. That's for sure. And the Bible says the curse that is causeless alighteth not. Okay, so, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. And I said to the group that was with me, the chemo that they're giving that woman will kill her baby. And when she was done feeding him, he vomited up the milk all over her lap. He was very small and weak, and he looked miserable and helpless. And isn't it something that the Lord is speaking about the spiritual man here? We are the mother. The spiritual man is Christ in you. And some of these are dying for lack of nourishment. And are they ever so happy when they get the fear of the Lord because of some situation and you go and tell them the truth? How many of you got happy like that? The spiritual man, our fruit, can only live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've said she acted oblivious to the fact that he was not getting any sustenance. She then held up a large IV bag filled with fluid and put him inside it like a Ziploc bag. I was concerned because now the baby was going to drown. Yeah, not having the breath of God, which is the Holy Spirit, right? The breath and spirit are the same word in Hebrew, so. And I ran up to her and tried to warn her that the doctors were trying to kill her and her baby. She acted indifferent and said, "It's too late for me." Of course, a lot of people are like that. They're discouraged and depressed, and they need the faith, the word of faith, don't they? I said, "Don't you care about your baby?" She said, "You can have him. He's going to die anyway." So they're full of discouragement, you know. They don't really believe that God wants to help them. And they don't know the method by which God does help them. And that is, of course, through faith, right? And this is a person that's obviously lost all faith. And without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. It is impossible. Right? The righteous shall live from faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. There are people, a lot of people, who have shrunk back from the faith. They don't have the faith that they had when they were a baby Christian. They've departed from it to the works of man, the works of the flesh. And they don't realize that they are departing from God Himself. So there's a lot of apostates out there that this woman represents that have no hope or faith, and they need our help, right? Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. Right? Give them a good encouragement. Eve said, "I hurried and got the baby out of the IV bag and dried him off and clothed him and gave him a warm bottle of good milk that wasn't contaminated." Well then, Hebrews 5 and 12 says, "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food." So that's what the milk represents. The rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. People that need milk, need milk. If their spiritual man needs milk, it needs milk. Don't try to choke them with meat. I know people that want to show other people how much they know, and they just try to choke them with meat, and they don't realize, wonder why they don't accept what they got. Because they're not feeding on the level that they need, right? Everyone in the group took turns taking care of the baby boy. We all loved him and nurtured him, and he began to recover his strength and to grow very quickly. He was so sweet and very thankful that we had rescued him from the doctors and his neglectful mother. And then I woke up. And I asked Father for some random verses for this dream. The first one I got was Matthew 7 and 21. And we'll look at the context here, 15 through 23. And it fits pretty good with what we just said. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." And they do too. And everybody thinks they're sheep too. "But inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them." Yep, does their fruit, or their disciples, which is also a form of fruit, right, look like Jesus? Do they respect all of the Word? If not, they're false shepherds. "Do men gather grapes of thorns?" Thorns don't bring forth these grapes, do they? So if you're hanging around a thorn, don't expect he's going to bear any fruit. "Or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit." And they don't even know it's evil to depart from God's Word and to just pick and choose those portions that your little religion accepts. It's apostasy. It's anti Christ. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Which is how to have Christ in you, right? Amen. How many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. They're the mixed multitude, aren't they? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, they don't even know that they are rejected of God because of the works that they're doing, because gifts and power works has nothing to do with your soul. It's your soul that must be saved. That's righteousness and purity in your own life. You can go out and do all these good works for others and yourself be a castaway. Even Paul said the same thing, or rejected. Paul said the same thing. He said, depart from me, you work in iniquity. Then I asked for another word for the baby boy that was saved and received Isaiah 24 and 14. And the context she chose was 1 through 23. This whole chapter really fits the happenings in this dream. Behold, Lord, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Mm-hmm. That's a flat earth verse. You knew that, didn't you? He turns it over and everybody falls off. See there? I told you. I knew it was a flat earth. Did you know that if you had a flat earth, there wouldn't be any gravity? It's that generator that's turning in there that gives you that gravity. So, I had one guy tell me, I asked him, I said, did you know that, if you have a flat earth, you don't have gravity? What would hold you on the earth? Well, everybody's on the top side. Of course, I told him, I said, there is no top side in space. Yep. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, and as with the maid, so with their mistress, and as with the buyer, so with the seller, and as with the creditor, so with the debtor, and as with the taker of interest, so the giver of interest to him. The earth shall be utterly emptied. And see, it's all works there, right? All works, except not works towards God. And there's lots of people that are caught up in these things and distracted. And the earth shall be utterly emptied and utterly laid waste, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The lofty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is polluted unto the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Boy, there is just so much greed out there. They don't care if they destroy the earth or millions of people either, because they're Satanists. There is a murdering spirit in the leadership. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. Yep, just think about what that sun's going to do, to this earth. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. and the waste city is broken down. Every house is shut up, and no man may come in. And there is a crying in the streets because of the wine, and all joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. That's kind of like Disney World. It's gone. The fair, county fair, it's gone. In the city is left desolate, is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. For thus shall it be in the midst of the earth among the peoples, as the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleanings when the vintage is done. These shall lift up their voice, they shall shout for the majesty of the Lord, they cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the east, even the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I said, I pine away, woe is me. The treacherous have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous have dealt very treacherously. And fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. Like the man who fled from a lion and a bear met him, right? Fleeing is not always the best thing to do if you don't know which way to go. And you really don't unless you got the Lord. I've seen so many dreams where people did the very opposite of what the worldly people would do in an emergency. And they escaped. Where the people just went according to fear, which is a demon spirit, by the way. If you're obeying fear, you're not obeying God. You're obeying a demon. You are going the wrong way. You see? Be careful. Pay attention. You know? Spirits, these spirits all have natures to them. If you're obeying one of those natures, you're not obeying the Lord. He is not your Lord. Not at that point. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth tremble. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is rent asunder. The earth is shaken violently. The earth shall stagger like a drunken man, shall sway to and fro like a hammock. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. That's the way of the curse, right? Can't live under the curse without being cursed. And you can't live out from under the curse without having faith in God, right? And the only way you can have faith in God is to repent and confess your sins. Because if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish the host of the high ones on high. Oh, goody. And the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days they shall be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders shall be glory. And so she said, then I asked Father for a word for me and my brethren, and received Psalm 146 and 5, the context being 1 through 10. And I think it's interesting that the term upside down is mentioned here just like it was in Isaiah 24. Yeah. Upside down. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happily, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, who keepeth truth forever, who executeth justice for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Oh, praise be to God. The Lord raiseth up them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the sojourners. He upholdeth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And those who brought the gospel turned the world upside down in the view of the wicked. Acts 17 and 6 says, And when they found them not, they dragged Jason and certain brethren before the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Yep. Well, that's what we need to do. The world is upside down. You know, they say in the past that the sun has risen in the west. Scientists say that they have figured that out, that we've gone back and forth. That's possible, because if the world gets turned upside down, it could get turned upside down again. Right? So let me go back and talk about the beginning of this thing about the asteroid things, you know, and the asteroid that I believe could be nuked into several asteroids that will all be incoming. Okay? And you remember in Eve's dream that she said, I saw three fireballs seeming to tear away from in front of the sun and spread out, two on the right and one on the left. And she said she heard them like ripping fabric, right? Like entering the atmosphere. They go so fast. You know, I don't remember, but I think it seems like they could be traveling at like, 60,000-70,000 miles an hour. That's pretty fast, huh? That would be screeching across the sky, right? And as they fell lower and lower on a curved trajectory, the fire changed from white to orange to red to yellow and yellow. And so after we shared this the night of the 16th, the next day I saw this. Now keep an eye on this. If it's true, we're truly close to this beginning of disasters. I'm not convinced of the date yet, but I'm looking for more proof. And I offer this so that you can pray about it and see what God gives. And by the way, just obey God and be anxious for nothing. I mean, honestly, the Lord doesn't want you out of His will. Being anxious or fearful is not of Him. That's a demon spirit that's trying to distract you from God, right? But having said that, I'm going to read this text that I actually copied out of a video from a speaker of a video, and I'll post it too. It's a possibility, but I'm not convinced of the date. Anyway, in this video, reports that an insider friend warns through email that there is an incoming asteroid warning of impact. on September 23 through 25 of 2016. Well, it's possible, but I'm still not convinced yet. It's going to take a little more to convince me, because I really don't know where this came from, for one thing. But this asteroid was said to have been kicked into the solar system by planet X Nibiru. It sounded like they had some inside information, you know, okay, but they wanted to remain anonymous. Well, and then it went on to say that the U.S. sent missiles into space in June, in July, in August, and on September the 8th of 2016. The first one sent coordinates and pictures back. The first missile did. The second through the fourth missiles carried nuclear warheads. The first nuclear warhead failed to change the direction of the asteroid. The second one fractured the rock into several pieces, which they said are going to impact the Earth. The fourth rocket launched on September the 8th carried a nuclear payload and directed it at the largest piece. Success on that is unknown. That's where they lost track, or that was where it was when they got the information. Okay. And they said several governments are going to try to shoot the objects. The governments are figuring out what to do if their mission fails. There will definitely be portions of the asteroid. I'm still quoting the video, okay? There will definitely be portions of the asteroid that will hit Earth. Sizes are not completely known. One appears to be a mile long. Areas of impact not known by this insider. In the coming week, we'll find out, obviously. Impacts, according to this, will come on the 23rd through the 25th in the early morning hours before sunrise. And, of course, we don't know the source of this, and it could even be disinformation. The enemy likes to do this to discredit the truth so that you, when it does come along, you've heard wolf cried so much you don't believe it, you know. But we just assimilate things that come to us. It says, let the prophets judge, right? Right? Let one prophesy, let the rest judge. So we judge things. We discern things. And sometimes God gives you a discernment you don't give me, and sometimes it's the other way around. So I always start looking for something that it looks like confirms it. And so I found something. The only thing is, I don't know that it didn't come from the same guy, you know, or somebody copying him, right? Because this is another similar report of an asteroid or asteroids that hits the 24th and 25th. That's a link there. Okay, I'm not going to type that one all out. But and then there was China's largest telescope revealed a killer asteroid approaching the Earth. They called it 2009 ES. And I found a couple of articles on that. Okay. They didn't give a time period, but there was a couple of articles on that. So they say there is a killer asteroid approaching the Earth. I don't know. And then I got another link here that speaks about asteroids coming, that there could be a cover-up, and very large earthquakes. This particular person had a revelation similar to one that I had back when Ephraim was sharing his revelation, which I still believe. I just believe the dates were wrong, you know. But I believe what he said. And that was that the great earthquake that happened there at Puerto Rico was going to shake the east coast of the United States. And this person even said that they knew that that same earthquake, that 12-pointer, was going to hit the east coast. I don't know. That's a mighty earthquake. A mighty one. So I'm going to turn to some Bible codes here that could confirm 9:23 through 25. I'm not yet convinced, and that's not because I don't respect the Bible codes. I do respect the Bible codes. And it's about asteroids. But I've learned that God's merciful and often lessens or delays Bible codes, especially with dates. And some of these dates are of the coming of the Messiah, of which we're told in Acts 1 and 7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority. Literally about the Messiah, there is a date in that matrix in several codes. But you don't know the date is connected with that happening. Now that doesn't detract from the Bible code. I do believe that the Bible codes are just as perfect as the word that they are a part of. God would not make a perfect word, and the Bible code had to be put in there when God made the word. It was put in there by an intellect far, far beyond anything we have. And he that wrote the word wrote the code. And therefore I say the code is right. And I've seen a lot of evidence of that too. So the code is just a skip sequence. Messages of many skip lengths in the original word. Literally every letter in the Bible is used in skip sequences and could be used many, many times because of the different length of the skip. You could have layers and layers and layers there, and you don't want to cross them. I mean, you know, when you ask certain, like if you're asking about a situation that you know the happenings of it from beginning to end, and you ask about it and you find that they end up in this matrix, you're pretty sure about that. But you could ask for dates and have dates that are connected to things that you did not ask about. And the larger the skip and the message, the more impossible it is for this to be an accident. Anybody that says that the Bible code is an accident knows nothing about probabilities. It's impossible for a message to go all the way through the Bible on a skip sequence. It's impossible. It's beyond the realm of possibility. And so people that deny it, that's just crazy. That's the craziest thing. If they evidently don't know anything about the Bible code, or it's got some teachings or doctrines that they disapprove of, and they're idolaters, so they're not going to depart from their theology, right? Or sometimes people mixed up messages and pulled things out that didn't belong together and convinced them that the Bible code was wrong. Well, it's not wrong. It's not any more wrong than God is. But the interpretation is wrong. Putting certain messages with other messages can be wrong. So on and so forth. Dates can be wrong. The original word is correct and the codes are too. However, we don't know all the words to ask the software to bring up. One word can make a tremendous difference. And that's been discovered. Like delayed, which would totally reverse the idea of this happening on a certain point, you know. Or they thought, you know, they thought this or that, you know. Which, you know, you're looking at it like it's a done deal and it's really not, you know. There's lots of things in there that we don't know about. But I say you're more likely to get the truth if you find a bunch of different Bible codes and even different people asking the questions. And if they all start lining up, then you're more likely getting something that's reputable, right? Anyway, a dates may not be connected with the subject searched for, but something that is hidden in the matrix. In which case, the date would be used wrong. It's not wrong. It would be used wrong. It could be in the date in some of these codes I'm going to share with you. They could be wrong. Because not because the date's wrong, but because it's being used wrong. We don't know that. But we're going to see. You just have to hold the date loosely and then wait and see. And meantime, make sure you're in the will of God. I think that's the really good thing about what we're sharing today, is you should be making sure that you're in the will of God. Pray to Him. Don't be anxious. Don't let any date or anything else make you anxious or troubled. Don't let it happen to you, because you're getting out of the will of God. You're following a demon spirit. So the main thing is, if this makes you to seek the Lord to be in His will, that's great. And if you receive anything, you know, let us know too. Whether it confirms it or whether it don't confirm it. We don't care. We just want the truth, right? Amen. So here's a code. The coming of Messiah in 776. And of course, that's 5776, because that's the millennia that they knew the Messiah would come, so there was no need to put the 5 in front of it. 5776. And then there's a link there. But Glazerson says 776 is recognized by the Jews as the year of trouble. The code says, who will cause these troubles? Obama. I think I've shared this one with you before. The kingdom of David will be eternal. So now we're talking about rebuilding again, which we have received from the scriptures, the kingdom of David, right? Christ Jesus Himself being the one who is inside David, right? The last kingdom, 776, and then 776, this is the year. Asteroid, quote unquote. Tishri, which is September, 776. Warning in front of God. So, here's an asteroid coming in front of God. God's coming behind the asteroid. And last time I shared with you, I pointed out that Isaiah said twice, I believe, that his reward is with him and his recompense is before him. It's true. When the Lord comes, He's going to reward His faithful servants with many gifts. But He's also got this judgment coming before Him that this code is showing is this asteroid. And, of course, the asteroid we've seen from Revelations and dreams and so on and so forth is going to be broken into three, much like this revelation that I just shared with you. It's going to be broken into three and pushing tsunamis and earthquakes like we have never seen. And it will be recompense to God's enemies. And here's another one. Messiah will come. Crosses 776. And year of the Messiah. King David. Elijah. There's a link there. The coming of Messiah. 776. Another link. Below you're going to run into somewhere that, and we've already seen it too also, that the asteroid comes in front of the Lord. And we know that the Lord said He would come as the latter rain. I know people are thinking they've figured out how the Lord's going to come. He's showing up in His body. But saints, it's just not going to happen. When He comes at the end of the tribulation period, that's when He's taking His people. But the way He's coming this time, He said He was coming as the latter rain, that outpouring, according to Hosea 6, 1 through 3, on the morning of the third day, which is where we are now, He said He was coming as the latter rain. I believe Him. I believe that anointing of the latter rain, which is greater than the former rain, is going to be given to the man-child, and also the Word of God, like Moses came down out of the mountain with the tables of the testimony, with the Word of God on it, which Paul said he writes upon your hearts, not on tables of stone, but on your hearts. So you see, he's giving you a revelation there of who this man-child is going to be. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and so will the man-child be. And that anointing that brings it all to life is that latter rain anointing. So expect two things here, death, but also revival from this. He's going to impress the world with his anger against sin. Okay, here's another one. Glazerson had this one. Nibiru, September, which is Tishri, and 23-24, 2016. Again, I would have to see more proof that the date actually goes with this. It is the Nibiru nemesis system that kicks the asteroid our way, I believe, and may be right behind them, you know. Messiah arrives after the Shemitah year in 776, 2016. That's one. Nibiru arrival, May to September. Hidden codes. Here's one, Nibiru Planet X with Messiah. A link. And here's one asteroid in the 24th of September, 5776 in the Bible code. Asteroid is found and warning in front of God is found. And like I said, his reward is with him, his recompense is before him. So, there are many pictures taken of what people believe to be Planet X and Nibiru on the internet, most of which just aren't. They just aren't. They're reflections, they're sun dogs, they're something, but they're just not. They're not reality. And some of them look credible and may well be, but you'll have to do your own research there. I know that if the interpretations of the codes is right, it should be getting closer and larger by the month. But if it was as large as some people are showing in pictures, we wouldn't be here now. These are obvious reflections or sun dogs. Don't take a picture through a window, especially turning, you know, not looking at it squarely. Don't do that because you're going to get reflections. When they look kind of see-through-ish and opaque-looking, that's not a planet, you know. By the way, this is really not a planet. It acts like a comet from what they're saying. You know, it's a star that didn't reach its potential because it didn't have enough mass. That's what they say, and I believe they're probably right. But anyway, and the sun would be getting hotter and whiter rather than yellow with these CMEs and solar flares as Planet X comes close. The government has expected this solar destruction for 30 years. And they've had teams of remote viewers. They've had prophets. They've had, you know, psychics. They've had everything. They just kind of cover all bases of the supernatural, which none of it's really trustworthy. I mean, you know, if God wants to get a message across to people, he can do it, and he can do it through these people, but you can't trust them. You know, it's like when Saul sought the witch at Endor, and the Lord showed up with a message. And it was a truth, too. He spoke to him through someone he was going to listen to. He wasn't going to listen to him, so he spoke to him through somebody he was going to listen to. You know? And does he do it today? Sure, but you better not do it because it'll bring a curse on you. Right? But anyway, the government, they don't pay any attention to any of this. They get any kind of information, supernatural information. We know some supernatural information is illegal. And if you do it, you'll get demons. But they don't pay any attention to that because they already got demons. So to Christians, this is psychic stuff, this remote viewing thing, you know. We can do remote viewing by the gift of God, you know. That's obvious. I mean, the devil just copies God, right? So, who knows? They might have people in there that are actually prophets and they're giving them truth. I actually do know spiritual people who work for the government to tell them about and advise them about what they should do. I know people that are doing that, and they are Christians. So, anyhow, having said that, I'll say this. God has given dreams and visions and prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom for these things, which is much more accurate. The remote viewers use the term kill shot, in which the grids are fried and much death and destruction ensues, you know. Their leader was Major Ed Dames, who led this group, and he recently retired, I believe, to prepare for this. His estimate was that it would come in 2016. I don't disagree with that. I don't have enough sense to disagree with that, but it's a possibility. And just as the revelations that we've already shared with you have shown, it's a possibility. But based on his remote viewing research, Ed predicted a large planet will pass between the Earth and the Sun, causing disastrous solar events that he collectively refers to as the kill shot. The large planet is well known to the government as Planet X, which is what they called it when they discovered it. They're acting like it's a bunch of nuts out there. They're the ones that discovered it. They were the ones that hushed it up. They were the ones that wrote it in the newspapers. Yes, they had all of that. And then the people who wanted to go further and reveal it, they killed. So you know how much they want to find their hole before you find it, right? That's the main thing here. They want to be able to rob and plunder you and build their underground cities and leave you out of it, right? Okay, going on. During the top secret remote viewing CIA and U.S. Army research program, trained viewers that were normally tasked with foreseeing the outcome of war-related events began picking up on a future occurrence that appeared to mark a dramatic shift in global life. At first, these viewers, along with Major Ed Dames, the program's senior operations and training officer, had feared their subconscious was foreseeing nuclear war. It turns out, after years of remote viewing sessions, the event is in fact a series of solar flares that are so devastating to the Earth that it may cause the death of billions and change life on Earth as we know it. That's a quote. Well, as the Bible code puts it, solar flare, Holocaust, I will send to all the men guilt, day of judgment. That was in a Bible code. So, I think it's coming. Not because they say it, but because God says it. And I think God may be telling them that it's coming. So, because you know, you remember Ahab, how the Lord called the spirits together to get Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and fall. And one spirit came before the Lord and said, I'll make him go up there. And the Lord said, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. He said, yep, you'll do it. Go forth and take care of that. And he did. So the Lord has control over the true and the false prophets. With a solar flare or a CME, you have at least a day, from what I'm reading. It could be 7 days, but you have at least a day's warning, if you know about it, to unplug things from the grid. This is not like an EMP that comes from a nuclear bomb, which is going to fry everything, whether you're hooked to the grid or not, you know. These are not like that. They're not on that level, from what I'm understanding. And me and Michael did a little reading on it earlier. And so unlike an EMP, this is what's necessary, you know, that is to be unplugged from the grid. Some people say, well, I'll just go throw my main switch. Well, remember, you got a ground wire wired in there, too. So, I mean, don't know. I don't know. I'm not an electrician, but I've done electrical work somewhat, but I don't know about that. But I do know unplugging it is a safe thing to do, unless you have faith. Be it unto you according to your faith, right? Amen. Praise be to God. God could tell you. And also, there are phone apps that can warn you when a CME or solar flare is coming. Michael Hare said, the best I can tell, these are two of the best on the market, and he gives a link to these two. Okay, and he said there are many more free ones that will tell, and these are relatively free, actually. They're pretty cheap. But there are many more free ones that will tell of the CME and the solar flares, but they don't have an alarm on them. And, of course, if you find a free one with an alarm, let us know. But meanwhile, he's just putting a couple of links here, you know. And he's got one on his phone that'll warn you when it's coming. And, of course, you can decide then if you want to just unplug things or what. So anyway, let me just say this. If you're on the coast or a fault line or a seismic zone or a big city, if you're in a big city, pray about where you are. And if you suspect that the Lord is saying get out of town, well, take a short vacation. You can't lose. You know, go somewhere. And if you're not in a danger area, you should prepare for a grid shutdown. You can, for instance, the interesting thing that happened here, but it happened like in about 5 states, the pipeline that comes up from the Gulf that has gasoline busted a hole in it. How that happened, I don't know. But it was a state of emergency, according to the governor. And, of course, a lot of stations shut down. We didn't have any trouble. We found one with some gas, and everybody gassed up because we didn't really know how long this was going to happen or how bad it was going to get. But usually that kind of a thing, a hole in a pipeline, that don't last long. They fix that pretty quick. It may be fixed already. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, when everybody rushed to get gas, well, we went out this morning and went and got some gas and gassed up our cans, too. And the brethren around here did that, which is a good thing because I said, you know, something worse might be coming behind this. It may not just be this, you know. It could be the Lord preparing us for something else. Could be. Just could be. That's all I can say right now. So having gasoline in your car and in your cans is a good idea. Having some water and food, too. And sometimes you might have if you know that a CME is coming and it's going to shut down the water system, the grid, the gas stations, you see, you'd want to know all that. It'd be nice to know that. Have some water because water's very important. I mean, you see, you don't want to be forced into doing what they want you to do if you don't have to. You'd rather not end up in a FEMA camp, right? Sure, of course. You know, so if you have water, you can even a tub. If you're not, I've got a tub I don't use because I take showers all the time. So, you know, if I had a tub like that, I would fill that tub up with water. Then you'd have drinking water, cooking water, flushing water, whatever, you know. And besides that, the most important thing is to confess your sins. And then remember the promises of God, because circumstances are not always what we think. God still multiplies the fishes and the loaves and the gasoline and the money and all things, right? Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That means He ain't stingy, right? And Mark 11:23 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive." Don't forget this now. You might try to just push your way on through with faith, but he says, no, don't forget this. "Whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any one, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." So that's important, right? So we believe in miracles. We've had some awesome miracles here, folks. Some awesome miracles. There is nothing beyond God. Nothing is beyond God. I told you about the gas refrigerator we was experimenting with because we wanted to learn how to make these things work off of a solar panel. And we used a HHO generator to generate the gas for this thing. And, of course, we couldn't get the amperage down enough to be able to use solar panel. And I asked God about it, and God sent us some water, for goodness sake, that dropped it from 30 amps down to 1 point something, or was it 2? Maybe it was 2 amps, I'm not sure. And that was just astounding. We thought, water's water. No. And it worked, you know. But then God said, "I got something to show you." And so we had a propane tank that we knew about how often we would have to change it to keep the refrigerator going, you know. And so one time we watched it go all the way down to empty, and it was still running. We decided, okay, thank you, Lord. We're just going to see how long it's going to do that, you know. That thing, you know, on a small tank like that, it would have probably lasted about a month, if I remember correctly. But it lasted 2 months and 18 days. And at that time, particular time, by the way, we had a refrigerator in the house. So we just, this one was out in the garage. It was our experimental job that we were working on to try to, you know, if we lost the grid, we would still be able to have refrigeration. That was our experimentation thing, you know, tinkering. And so anyway, we decided we didn't need to run 2 refrigerators, so we cleaned it out and we put the stuff inside. But I said, "God, what you're telling me is all I need is an empty propane tank." So God was showing us some good things. I've seen him put gas in my car quite a few times, so I've seen him actually move the needle. You know, he's an awesome God. Let's don't sell him short. We're going to learn all this. That anointing breaks the yoke, folks. That anointing is going to cause us to just do some wonderful things. So I'm going to take a minute here and share just a couple of revelations with you concerning that three asteroids, whatever. You probably remember this one, Virginia Boldia, who's the daughter of Dimitri Dudeman and the mother of Michael Boldia, Dimitri's interpreter. And she said, "It was not a dream. It was late. I'm not sure. It was past midnight on the 25th of May, and I had just returned from a hard day's work. First, I'd gone to a few villages to give help, and afterwards I began praying for a few hours, and I lay in bed listening to a prophecy that I had received. And suddenly, I began to see, even though my eyes were shut, I saw an immense flower garden. The flowers were as tall as a man, with a healthy stem. But the buds were blue and bent forward, and every flower only had one bud. A cloud suddenly appeared near the garden, and it appeared to be very close to the ground. A man dressed in white stood on the ground, on the cloud, excuse me. He was slightly taller than a normal man, and in his hand he had a trumpet in which he began to blow. The sounds that came out of this trumpet would turn letters, which would then turn into words in the sky and then ignite, burning up in the heavens. I did not understand the writing because it was an unknown tongue. I did, however, recognize that it was Hebrew. And there was a handful of comets in the sky. Like I said, some people don't know the difference between a comet and an asteroid when an asteroid's coming into the atmosphere, you know. There were a handful of comets in the sky which looked to be peaceful. Suddenly, three of them, all different sizes, which is what we've learned about these asteroids that are coming in, they're all different sizes, began to head towards the Earth. And when they hit the ground or Earth, there was total devastation. As I looked up, the sky turned black and I saw thunder. The thunder was also black. A dark cloud lifted up and it began to rain. And when I looked closer, I saw that it was not rain, but drops of blood. So whatever this judgment is, it's going to kill people. Now, when she says, I saw thunder, I think she might have meant lightning. Okay, possibly. So as I looked to my left, I saw another man standing on another cloud, and he was very tall, dressed in white, with his hands raised high. Each time he moved his hands, fireballs would come out of his fingers. And I looked awestruck at the man's height and his way as his face shone and radiated. And then a powerful voice said, "Remember what I have shown you. This will be the beginning of the pain that I will allow upon the earth." And he repeated this phrase again, after which he spoke to me, "You prepare yourself, be strong, and draw close to me with fasting and prayer, for I will come to show you things more terrifying than these." Then everything disappeared. So, he says the three comets, or asteroids, are the beginning of the pain that's going to come upon the earth. We may be close. Yes, we might be close. But the three thing is something that we've had lots of. And it's enough to know that we're looking, I believe, for three asteroids to come into the atmosphere that's going to begin this whole thing. And as we know, it begins a chain of events. And the chain of events is tsunami, earthquake, volcanic activity. Earthquakes going across the country like we've never seen. So, and of course, God's, we're going to have a Passover. See, before God's people went into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, and that's what this is preparing, is the tribulation wilderness for God's people. Before they go there, they have a Passover. in which the Egyptians took the judgment and they escaped. So remember that. God's not trying to kill you. He's your shepherd. You trust Him to be your Savior. Wherever you are, if you think you're in the will of God, then just rest in peace and give thanks to God. Don't let anything make you anxious or troubled or fearful. All right? But just make sure that you're not doing your will. Make sure that to the best of your knowledge, you're obeying the Lord. Right? Here's another one. I'm going to share this one with you too. This is Ann Peterson's. Three asteroids and tsunamis destroy the coasts. In April of 2001, I was moved to ask God what was coming at us. The question was as generic as that, but not the answer. I was then shown North America on a globe, and I saw three balls of fire streaking across the globe. One hits in the Gulf of Mexico, another hits near the east coast of Florida, and a third is further out into the Atlantic. And, of course, other revelations were more northerly in the Atlantic, you know. So it seems like a lot of revelations have come together to make this pretty solid. Okay. I then see America get smaller. Florida is washed over. It's not hard for Florida. Florida's right there on the water line. I mean, it's barely above sea level, most of Florida. Florida is washed over. Literally, that one that Ephraim is talking about, I believe, could wash right on over Florida. And I remember my good friend from East Florida, a prophet who the Lord told to get on his computer, and then he told him what to type in, and he typed it in, and he ended up at our website. And in those days, I had a way to contact me on the website. And so he did. He contacted me and told me all about the Lord told him that the son of perdition, he was going to see the son of perdition. And I was writing an article at the time, and I said, oh, no, that's not possible. And the Lord said, oh, just be quiet. You know, wait till you get through the article and send it to him. You'll see it. And I did, and that's exactly what happened. But anyway, he said he saw that the water had washed over Florida, and there was many, many dead people. And he said they were like boxcars of just refrigeration things that they were just filling with bodies. Filling with bodies. And so the Lord had confirmed to me that he did speak to the man, and then he told me that. And I believe that too, because I think that was around 1998, if I'm not mistaken, when we were looking at a lot of different, it might have been later than that I met him, but we were looking at a lot of revelations that the Lord had people send to us about this, you know. And he told us one day that we were going to have to move away from the Gulf or we would not survive as a ministry. And he told us that we were going to move to Tennessee. So I said, okay, I'll be here till you tell me, Lord. And I was, until he told me. He told me the day I was going to be in Tennessee. And it happened just that way. And it was kind of miraculous, too. But anyway, he saw America get smaller. He saw Florida, or she did, saw Florida was washed over, as well as much of the East Coast and the coastal areas of the Gulf. And I asked if people would be warned of this event in any way, and I was told that this was the warning. So why do I tell you this? So you ask the Lord, if you happen to be in one of these places, you ask the Lord, Lord, is this still where you want me? I'll stay here until you have me move, right? Amen. And I was told that this was the warning, and I asked again about the others who did not hear or see initial warnings. And I heard that there would be a very small window of opportunity for people to get out of harm's way. But most would still not listen. Then the only close-up view I got was of I-95. It was a death trap. And those were the words I heard, too. I remember people getting up on the interstate when hurricanes came. They waited too late to leave, and guess what? They rode out that hurricane sitting up there on the interstate in a total blockage. They didn't make it. Some of them crept down off of there and went back to town, and some of them couldn't. They just had to ride it out up there. So, I mean, that's going to be a problem down there. If people don't leave in time, they won't get to. My suspicion is that there'll be far fewer people leaving because God's just going to warn the people He wants to warn. So it may not even be, you know, a stack up of vehicles up there. But anyway, she said, then I was shown a short period of relative stillness, and then I saw the middle of America rise up, then separate into two land masses with a great body of water between the two halves. And when I inquired about what I was to do, because I live in Florida, she did then, I don't think she does now, I was shown a specific area in North Carolina that I had to be at. I was also told I would be there before this happened. I am currently planning to move ASAP, but I think she's already moved. I think she moved years ago. If finances had allowed, I would be there now, but things being as they are, I will be there in the next 2 months. I cannot even begin to list all the ways God has confirmed this for me. So that's very interesting, you know. And here we're looking at a couple of maps, you know, different people had of coastlines disappearing and the middle of the country disappearing. Very interesting. I do believe that some of these, it will not be that drastic. You know, you can take a 600-foot tidal wave, which I think would come easier for a big rock landing in the water than it would an earthquake. You know, if you throw a rock in the water, it pretty much suddenly really moves it fast, but anyway, these things normally can move 600-700 mile an hour. But if you take a 600-foot tidal wave, how far is it going to go inland? Well, probably not as far as you imagine, since it's just a wave. It's not really got the whole ocean behind it, right? But it'll go, it'll get worn down. It's not going to go, you know, states in and it still be that tall of a tsunami. So I suspect there's places that are wet that there'll be more people living in. And I'll tell you this too, that there's a lot of refuges out there that people have done all kinds of calculations, and they've said this is the earthquake over here. This is where the fault line. This is the seismic zone, and then so this is a safe place. And they've calculated all this out with their mind. But what they're not thinking about is if it's a place that everybody thinks is safe, it's not safe because humans are there, and you've just lost the economy. And what are they going to do? Well, most of them are going to go berserk. So what you might think is a safe place is not a safe place. God can make a safe place, physically speaking. And He can make you safe anywhere if you're in Him. Right? Amen? Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we put our trust in You, Father. We are so glad that You are our Father. You are our Savior. That it's not up to us. All we have to do is follow You. Follow You. Well, praise be to God. And here's one that Brother Rex had years ago. Ball of fire hits in the Gulf with the tidal wave. Yep, I'm not going to take the time to read that one. It'll take a while. So there's a bunch of these three asteroids, three tidal wave type revelations that confirms, I believe, what Eve had there. Nothing in any of these confirms the date, but I just believe that God can just tell you, and He will tell you, if, since He loves you, He wants to take care of you. He'll tell you if He wants you to go, and you be sure and ask Him, you know. And I remember also Ken Dewey's revelations where he saw that this brought the government down. So if God's not through with the government, this probably ain't going to happen yet. But it was one of those tidal waves that took out D.C. and the government. So that's just amazing to me. But it seems like it's been confirmed. And Ephraim's revelation, I think, is going to come to pass. And they seem to be preparing for it, too. And, he said, by the way, that the government was going to seek to shoot the thing down. So, of course, there are a lot of people that disagree that that should be done, because you can just cause a lot more damage, you know. And so that's a possibility. So, Father, Father, we love You. We want to serve You. And heaven ain't bad. We want to serve You, Lord. We just want to be where You want us to be. We just ask You to remove us out of any area that we're not to be in. We thank You for being our Savior in all things. We thank You that You're our provider. You're our Psalm 91 Passover. And Lord, we know that You saved Your people out of bondage in Egypt to the old man. You saved them. You brought them out. And there wasn't one feeble one among them. And they were having a party on the far side of the Red Sea. Just having a party. And yes, a tidal wave did take Pharaoh out. And so it may be just like Ken Dewey said. Praise God. We've had other revelations that seem to point to that too. Either way, I think God is going to turn things around for a 3.5 year period, and then everything is going to be a crucifixion. You know, not that God's people aren't going to be out there doing signs and wonders and miracles. They'll definitely be doing that. Glory be to God. But the situation is going to turn back to what we're looking at now in 3.5 years. I'm convinced of that. But the Lord may not be through yet. I don't know. If the dates are actually there, He may be through with Him. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we just had two well-set explosions by terrorists. And I do believe the closer we get to something that would cover their activities, that they're going to come out of their closet and they're going to do their work. And they've already stolen a whole bunch of, which they don't put out there anymore. They don't put out things like this. They won't let it on the internet. A bunch of propane tanks, a bunch of pipe bomb materials, telephones. And so they're ready to go around bombing things, and I think they've just done it a couple times. So we could be getting close, because they think that this is going to all cover up all their stuff, you know, and that people will get distracted with this. They won't pay any attention to them, you know. So pray against that. Pray against the government that brought them in here for that purpose, and pray against that. And cast it all down, right? In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for drawing us unto yourself. Thank you for putting your faith in us, Lord, that we will be content wherever you put us. And we know, when we know we're in your will, we're just content to sit right there and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? They'll mount up with wings as eagles. Yeah. So thank you, Father. We put our trust in you. We know the man-child in the wilderness is going to give eagle's wings to the woman. And the dragon won't catch her. Amen. Oh, praise you, Father. Father, please bless all your all the brethren out there with your gifts of discernment and wisdom and prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom and dreams and visions and all these things, Lord, concerning these things that are coming. And we thank you for doing that. You've been doing it all along. And, of course, we always hope that you're coming right around the corner, Lord. And I still wish that. I wish more than anything that you would come. I don't want to see destruction to multitudes of people, but I do know that you are righteous in what you do. And I do know that all of those who are your elect from the foundation of the world will come unto you. And him that cometh unto you, you will no wise cast out, your word says. You also said that you would bring the Egyptians in our stead. In other words, these people that aren't Israelites and are not going to be saved, that you'll give a demonstration with them that will put the fear of God in your people, as it did. So, as it did to those Israelites back then. So, Lord, we know you know what you're doing. And we just want to find ourselves in agreement with you. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So we want to find ourselves in agreement with you and walk in your will, Lord. And that's a very safe place, no matter where we are. Lord, we know you've told us that you're giving us a safe place, but it's a safe place to distribute the gifts and understandings of God and raise up the woman to go out and bring the gospel and do the work of evangelism and so on and so forth. And so we know that that's the reason for it, not a place to hide out as some people want to do. And, Lord, you showed us that people came here, even though they disregarded our warnings about not coming here unless they were sent of God. They just wanted to escape. And escapism is not what you are about, Father, and because we know we escape everywhere and anywhere we are when we're in your will. And there's no way to find an escape without your will. So we thank you, Father, for that. And we don't want to be idolaters. We don't want to hold our life as more precious than doing your will. You said if we lose our life, we'll gain our life. And everyone who saves their life is going to lose their life. So there are people that are just out there only wanting to save their life, you know, this old natural life. But Lord, we know that the sting of death is sin. And if we depart from sin, we won't have any pain of death. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for being our Savior. And all of our brethren, Lord, that are on the coast and on the New Madrid seismic zone and other places on the West Coast, all the brethren that are around these places that you've declared to be danger areas, they're all there, Lord, to do your will there and to speak to people there that can come to a salvation knowledge and be prepared to move if you say so. And we thank you, Lord, for giving your people peace wherever they are and yet respect because of the things we've spoken about today, that we need to be able to move at any moment. And some people, their things are holding them back. I remember some relatives of Mary's side of the family down there in Louisiana who lost houses. And I told her, well, you know, there could be a good reason for this. Now they can be removed from the coast without having anything there to hold them back, you know, or tempt them. They can be removed. And I do believe that the Lord might have done that. Now, I'd also believe at the same time that they're doing weather warfare. And now, you know, having watched what they did, I believe they're doing weather warfare. And but, as you can see, if it's God's will, they'll do it. And if God can only use them to do the weather warfare to remove some people away from the coast, well, praise be to God. He is a sovereign God. We thank you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, I'm going. We'll do this again sometime. And I will post this, and you can consider it and pray about it and see what the Lord shows you. And if it's something important, please send it to us. We'll take it. All right. God bless you.